Genesis chapter 22. I want us to read, first of all, beginning with verse number 1 down to verse number 14. Genesis chapter 22. And you follow along as I read. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the wood and the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide him a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of the wood, And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abram, Abram! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called in the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, To this day in the mount of the Lord it is seen. Now as we consider this, one of the most difficult times in Abraham's life took place there on Mount Moriah. You know, most trials that we face come unexpectedly to us. Maybe the death of a loved one, or an accident, or sickness, or disaster, or a wayward child, or some family problem, or a financial crisis, or maybe even a persecution. Abraham's trial was perhaps harder than any trial that we've ever faced, because God asked him to be involved in his trial. God asked him to offer his only son as a burnt offering. Seems almost unbelievable that God would do that. And yet God was trying him. And I can't imagine the agony that he must have endured. You think about that for those 3 days as they were walking toward Mount Moriah from the south. Remember, they were way down in the south of Beersheba, and they were walking up. Mount Moriah was where Jerusalem was. They were headed up that direction. And they were heading up, and the whole time he's got all that time to think. They're walking, and they camp out at night for one night, and they camp out the second night, they camp out the third night, and they finally get there. And all this time, those thoughts are going through his mind. Why are you doing this, God? What am I going to do? And all these thoughts. But he trusted God during that time. And as we look at this, I want us to notice here that God was teaching him some things that were very important for him to see. And as we examine how Abraham handled this huge trial in his life, we find four actions that we must take in order to handle trials biblically. Four different actions that we need to take if we're going to handle those trials biblically. Now, we're going to see that a lot of the things we talk about here tonight were very similar to what we talked about last week when we were talking about getting direction from God, because there are a lot of similarities. But here we find, first of all, that Abraham trusted God's wisdom. Abraham trusted God's wisdom. Look at verse number 1 again. And it came to pass that after these things that God tempted him and said unto him, said unto Abraham, Behold, here am I. And he says, Take now thy son, and thy only son that thou lovest, and go to Mount Moriah and offer him a burnt offering on the mountains that I will tell thee of. And Abraham had to trust God. You know, God never makes mistakes. Never. And we need to remember that. God never makes mistakes. Never. And when God said to him, I want you to do this, God was not making a mistake. Yet one of the first questions that come to our mind when a trial comes into our heart, what's that first question that comes to our mind almost every time? Why? Why? Why me? Why this? Why is this happening? And Abraham, perhaps he asked that question, we don't know. But he doesn't complain about it. He doesn't argue with God about it. He trusts God's wisdom. And he understood that God never makes mistakes. And Abraham had it settled in his mind that God is always faithful. Abraham probably went back through his mind over the time of his years of his life, whereas in Haran, when he went up there in the north in Haran, and God was faithful to him in Haran, and God blessed him in Haran. And then God said, I want you to leave Haran, I want you to go down to Israel, or down to Canaan. And he left there, and he came down when he was in Canaan, and then he went down to Egypt, and he lied and got himself into trouble down in Egypt, but God was faithful and protected him, brought them out of Egypt. And then there was the time when Sodom was destroyed, and God was faithful to him during that whole time when Sodom was destroyed, and Lot was rescued from that whole terrible episode. And then there was the time of Hagar and Ishmael and all of those mistakes that he had made. But yet God was faithful to him all during that time. And now he's down in Beersheba, and God was blessing him down there in Beersheba and helping him be faithful and blessing his and prospering him. And even the people around Beersheba could see that. So God had been faithful to him all this time. And now all these thoughts are going through Abram's mind as he's going toward the time when he is supposed to offer his only son upon an altar. It's interesting that God calls him his only son, yet he had another son, Ishmael. And yet God said, Ishmael's not the son. Ishmael's not the one that I gave you. Ishmael's the one you got by yourself when you did it your way. Isaac's the one that I gave you. Isaac's the one that I have called to be to be your heir. Now, as we think about this, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 4, it says, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 31, we read, As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. We can trust in God. God is faithful. We can depend upon Him. His view of our trial is always superior to our view. Verse that I quoted last week there in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where it says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, even so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God doesn't make mistakes. So not only does God never make mistakes, but God never gives us more than we can endure. Never. God will never give us more than we can endure. Never. And we've got to believe that. And Abraham was faced with a huge testing and temptation here. Now, it says that God tempted him. It's important for us to understand that the word tempt and test are used interchangeably in the Bible. And it doesn't mean that God was putting some sinful temptation in front of Abraham. He was testing Abraham. He was not tempting him to turn away from God. He was testing him to see if he would be faithful even in giving his dearest possession to God. God was testing his faithfulness. Testing was to make him better, not bitter. And whether in temptation or in trial, God knows our limits. It's important for us to remember that. A great verse to remind us of that, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation always make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God says, I'll never give you something more than you can handle. And we need to rest on Him and trust Him with that. Just as Job's trial, Job was able to say, in Job 31:10 or 23:10, sorry. But he knows my way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. As gold is melting in the fire, if gold had feelings, the gold would not say, this is fun. It would say, this is painful. And when we sometimes are melting in the fire of God's trials and burdens that comes our way, sometimes it hurts. But God knows that it is important to purify us, to make us better, to take away the burdens, or to take away the dross in our lives, to make us a better person. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. James writes there, he's writing to the Christians that were scattered abroad because of trials and persecution. And James said there in verse number 2 of the first chapter, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, many various kinds of temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God said, I'm letting you go through trials because I want you to become perfect. Nothing lacking in your life. And sometimes we have to go through hard times to perfect us. I know that many times of some of the burdens and trials that Melody and I have gone through over the years have made us more tender, more compassionate, more understanding. They've helped us. Were they fun? No. Burdens seldom are. But they can help us. And so, Abraham here, he trusted God. He trusted God's wisdom and said, God does not make mistakes. And God will never give me more than I can handle. But secondly, we see that God, we need to ponder God's character. First of all, we are to trust God's wisdom. Number two, we are to ponder God's character. You know, we need to focus on all that we know about our God. Focus on all that we know about our God. Abraham received this shocking news here in verse 2. God said, I want you to take your son that you dearly love and I want you to sacrifice him and kill him. That was a terrible blow to him. And as he focused on that and thought about that, and you know, all that first night as he's trying to sleep, I don't imagine he got a wink of sleep that night. And he woke up first thing in the morning. Nothing's mentioned about Sarah. I have a sneaking suspicion that Abraham didn't tell her anything, because he knew she would just go crazy with fear and worry. But he takes Isaac and two servants and they hike off for 3 days over the hills and mountains till they get to Jerusalem, to Mount Moriah. And it's there he builds an altar. And he, all this time though, he's pondering the character of God, thinking about what God was like. Last week I gave you a list of things and I read through them quickly and I don't expect you to have noted them all. But I'm going to go through the same list again tonight because there are things that we need to know about God. And I challenge you to download the notes and just look at them or look them up yourself. That'd be even better yet. But God is long-suffering. He is good. He's loving. He's unchanging. He's ready to forgive. Plenteous in mercy. He faints not. He's all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. God's way is perfect. He is a comfort to us. He is faithful. He will help us. He is our rock. He is our fortress. His thoughts and ways are higher than ours. He is holy. Nothing's too hard for our God. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He is our help. He works all things together for good. He is wise. He cares. He is excellent in power. And He can do above all that we could ever ask or think. And folks, we need to know God. We need to meditate upon God. We need to think about the things of God. Let it go through our mind again and again and again, so that during burdens, during trials, during hardships, we have something to focus on instead of focusing on the wrong things. The devil wants us to focus on all the bad things and all the what-ifs and all the troubles of life. We need to focus on God and His character. The more you know about God and His character, the easier it'll be to handle your biblical trials, or trials, to handle your trials biblically. It's kind of like making scones. Have you ever made scones? Some of you guys maybe never have, but you ladies probably have. You take your ingredients. They usually have baking soda in them. They got salt in them. Might have some oil in them or grease of some sort. Those things aren't very tasty. You look at that and think, oh, yuck, soda and salt and oil? That's not very nice. But then you put in lots and lots of flour. And as you mix in lots of flour and some sweetener and mix it all together and put it in the oven and bake it, they come out beautifully. And what is that? What is God teaching us here? You know, there's just like the trials of life, there's a lot of problems and things we don't like, and in and of themselves, they are not very nice. But we need, at times like that, we need lots of God, and lots of His Word, and lots of what we know about God, and you mix it in with it, and God works it out, and it'll work out fine. But we need lots of God. We need to let that soak into our hearts and just meditate upon God and who He is and His greatness. And if we're going to handle our trials correctly, we need to know God. A trial is like taking a tea bag and put it in a cup of tea. And that tea bag, when you pour that in that cup of tea, or you put that in the cup of tea before you put the water over it, it doesn't smell, doesn't have much of a taste, it's just dry tea. But as soon as you put that boiling water over, what happens? What comes out of that tea bag? Tea. Whatever kind of tea you had in it. And you know, the same thing is true in our lives. Is when the hot water of trials is poured onto our life, what's going to come out? What's inside? And if inside of us is filled with the Word of God and filled with the understanding of God's character and the way that God is, that will come out. If inside of us is filled with worry and fret and despair and frustration and anger and bitterness, then when the trials come out, it's going to come pouring out. That's what's going to come out. It only can come out with what's inside. And so we need to fill our hearts with the Word of God. We need to meditate on what we know about God. Abraham's mind must have been buzzing that night as he meditated on God. In those 3 days, and they're camping over there and looking up in the stars at night and thinking about God and thinking, God, you've been a great God to me. And Abraham didn't understand. Abraham didn't know why. Abraham couldn't figure all that out, but he was still doing what God told him to do, and he believed that God was doing right. We must not worry about our what-ifs, but instead we need to meditate on God's never-changing character. God never changes. God is always good. God is always right. Psalm 77, verse 12 says, I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. We need to meditate on God and on who He is and what He is like. And so we need to ponder God's character. So first of all, we need to trust upon God's wisdom. We need to trust God's wisdom. Secondly, we need to ponder God's character. Number three, we need to obey God's commands. Notice what Abram did here. God told him to do this. And verse number three says, and Abram rose up, what's the next word? Early in the morning. And saddled the ass and took two of his young men and he went. He rose up early in the morning. The first thing next morning, early. Probably before the sun was up, he gets up and gets his donkey and his all the provisions, and they take off early in the morning, and they head off on this 3-day journey. He obeyed immediately what God told him to do. He did exactly what God told him to do as well. You know, when trials come, we too must know exactly what God wants us to do. That's why we're memorizing these verses, so that when a trial comes, you know exactly what God wants you to do. You know exactly what God wants you to do. As you look at these verses, you see there's Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God tells us where to do that. Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to trust in thee. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I am not to lean upon what I think. I'm not to lean upon my way of looking at it. I'm to lean on God when the trial comes. There, and so God is telling us these things. Ephesians 6, 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When those trials come, we need to gain our strength from God, not from ourselves, not from something else around us. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing. He said, don't be worried about anything. When those trials come and the devil says, worry about this, we say, no, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to cast my burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain me. I'm going to give it to the Lord, and I'm going to pray Him with thanksgiving and supplication and ask God to meet the need and take care of it. And God said He'd give me peace. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, God says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And He'll sustain us, or He'll lift us up. God says we need to humble ourselves before Him and say, God, I need Your help. The trial's weighing me down. I need You, God. And He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. God, You take my care. It's heavy. I can't carry it. You take my care. And He says, you cast all your care on Him, and He'll care for you. So these are God's commands. And so we need to know what God said to do. And so when the trial comes, we immediately go to these verses and say, that's what God told me to do. That's what I've got to do. That's what is expected of me. I've got to do that. I've got to give these trials to God. Now, these verses aren't the only ones in the Bible. There's lots of other ones. But these are some that will get you going in the right direction. I tried to choose some of the ones that I felt like were the most potent and most clear verses that can be of help to us during burdens and trials. Now, we must obey not only exactly what God says, but we need to obey quickly. You know, Abraham wasted no time. He went up early in the morning, made those preparations, and took off. You know, even when hurting, we must not delay. We must not delay to obey. We must not panic. And that's what we so often do. We must not worry. And that's what we so often do. We must quickly obey God's commands. And the better we know God, the easier it will be. We've got to know God. That brings us to the fourth action that we need to take. We saw, first of all, that we need to trust God's wisdom. Secondly, we need to ponder God's character. Three, we need to obey God's commands. Number four, we need to rest in God's promises. Rest in God's promises. We need to know the promises that God has given to us. Abraham knew what God had promised him. And we get a glimpse of what he knew about God over in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, when it talks about Abraham, this is what it says. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, talking about Genesis 22, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Notice this, he says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed that if I kill my son, God will raise him to life again, because God promised Isaac would be the son that would carry on my heir and be my heir as the stars of the sky. He promised. And Abraham believed his promise. And folks, we really, really need to just hang on to God's promises. When God gives us a promise, we need to hold it tight. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. That is a promise from God. God said He will keep our hearts if we will focus on Him. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And sometimes that's hard for us to comprehend. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God says, everything that I'm doing in your life is for your good. And sometimes we say, but God, it hurts and I don't understand. Why? 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 God says, don't worry about the why. It is for your good. And the Apostle Paul must have had those same kind of thoughts as he said, God, would you please take away the thorn in my flesh? And God said, no. He said, I won't do that. 2 Corinthians 12:9, in God's said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul, in an amazing way, was able to say, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, if it means that I have to go through, carry these thorns in my flesh that I don't like, in order to get God's power upon me, then I'm glad to do that. I'll glory in that. I'll rejoice in that. Paul was an amazing example for us. But that's exactly what we need. That's what we need. We need to trust God. We need to believe God. And to realize here that we need to know God's promises. What has God promised that He would do for us? And then we need to claim God's promises. Abraham claimed the promises of God that Isaac was going to be his heir. And he said, I know God said Isaac was my son that was going to be the heir. And he's going to have children like the sand of the sea and like the stars of the sky. I know that to be true. And God said it. He promised me more than once. And I believe God was telling me the truth. He hung on that promise. And we too need to claim the promises of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. I'm sure most all of us, probably all of us, are familiar with Ron Hamilton and the song that he wrote, Rejoice in the Lord. Ron Hamilton wrote the song Rejoice in the Lord after he had cancer in his eye, and one of his eyes had to be removed. From that day on, he wore a patch over his eye because he didn't have an eye there. And he wrote this song based on the scriptures called Rejoice in the Lord. He said, God never moves without purpose or plan, when trying his servant or molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seem long, and darkness he giveth a song. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day, then peace came, and tears fled away. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens His children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. God's given us four actions to take during trials. God wants us to trust His wisdom. He wants us to ponder His character. He wants us to obey His commands. And He wants us to rest in His promises. When the pressure is on and the emotions are high, it takes effort to handle our trials biblically. But with God's grace, we can. Preparation is absolutely vital. We must spend quality time with the Lord every day. We must know God well. We must memorize His instructions and His promises well so that they can come back to us instantly. And I don't know about you folks, but I don't know God nearly as well as I need to. And we need to dig into this book and we need to say, God, teach me about You. And every time we read, we need to be looking for character qualities of God and attributes of God, and see what God is like, and how did God respond, and how did God act in this situation, and what did God do during this burden, and how did He, and always looking for God, and evaluating, and pondering, and meditating upon it, and let it soak deep down in our hearts. We need to know God, because it is God and God's Word that will hold us strong during our trials. We need God.